tape projection.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Yes, it was a good Iron Bowl Saturday in the end. It wasn't good for about 2 hours and 59 minutes, but man. So let's just hop right into that. Alabama, a miracle win, 4th and Milroe, 4th and 31, disaster in the pasture.
That's whatever. The funniest one.
Disaster. I like that one. An amazing result. Alabama started out great. Auburn looked terrible in their first couple of possessions. Alabama marched down, scored a touchdown. It looked like, okay, good. We're going to do what we should do on paper and beat the hell out of these guys. And then, of course, that Jordan Hare voodoo, that Iron Bowl voodoo. And Auburn really outplayed Alabama most of the game.
Yeah.
Once they figured out that, like, we can run the ball successfully, their offense moved pretty well. Defense made enough plays to force Alabama to kick some field goals as opposed to scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
It took Alabama, they got the muff punt, and then things were looking up. They got a big fourth down conversion on a gutsy call to call that toss sweep out of that tush push formation.
Right.
Which I tell you what, that my heart jumped in my throat when I saw that they were going to toss the ball. Gutsy call.
And then
just shambles. First and goal run, got about a yard or two, nothing big. And then, second and goal, another bad snap. Yeah.
And it's been a couple of games since we've seen a bad snapper in his head, and boy, there was a terrible time for that. I was like, oh, my God.
And there was a couple bad ones earlier in the game, too, that weren't, Jalen caught them both. And then that one goes, and then third down, Jalen goes, ahead of
the ball.
Yeah, he should have just run the ball. He got two into – he was trying to make the big play. He had all the time in the world to run, to find someone no one could get open. Then he takes a step backwards. He goes across the line, goes backwards, throws it. So that's a penalty and a loss of down. We end up with 4th and goal on the 31-yard line.
Yeah,
no hope. Getting angry. This would be the biggest Iron Bowl win since the kick six, which they talked about endlessly, of course.
Endlessly, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like Gary, he can't go Alabama game. Not even Iron Bowl, but I swear, if Gary's on the call, like, that gets brought up at some point, no matter what.
Well, we only got one more left, so.
Right. One more game with Gary. But
yeah. It only looked with, it looked like the playoff hopes were done, that we'd be only playing to be a spoiler for Georgia's season next week.
Yeah.
That Auburn was going to get bragging rights in a really annoying way. I mean, a team that just got housed by New Mexico State.
Right.
And then Jalen, they rush two. Jalen has all the time, launches one to the back corner of the end zone, and lo and behold, Isaiah Bond is there, got separation from his guy, makes a leap and grab, gets his foot in bounds. And
my goodness.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful play. I mean, beautiful throw, great placement. I mean, Bond, it was him or nobody.
So
it was perfect. Well done. It was just amazing. It was crazy to think, too, on the 10-year anniversary of the kick six, and now, poof. I mean, that's just, if not as amazing, as crazy that ending was. Because, I mean, literally no hope there. 4th and 31, I mean, and not even a chance to get a first down or anything. It's touchdown or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just ridiculousness. But, we had said, we've experienced craziness of Jordan Hare. Maybe it made it even worse that they did get blown out last week. Maybe we didn't come in as prepared as maybe we should have. Who knows? But at the end of the day, those type of rivalry games, what to expect. We got everything you can expect from a trip to Jordan-Hare. Mm-hmm. And hey, we, this time, for the second time in a row down there, the, you know, we came through with some miracles on our side. It hasn't been pretty for us often down there, but hey, the last two have worked out in our favor in the end.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And you hope it follows the same script as 2 years ago, where that leads to a mm-hmm. pretty easy, nice. Not easy, but a big win in the SEC title big game.
Exactly.
Which I guess we'll talk about a little later. But yeah, just insane Iron Bowl. It had a little bit of everything. It had a horrible ref crew, the worst crew in the SEC.
Oh my goodness.
Like, from the opening kickoff. Yeah.
Yeah. Just from the get go. I mean, you know, even on their side, I mean, that first face mask was like, whoa, what's going on here? And then, from there, I mean, they overcompensated for Auburn like hundreds of times. It's like, wow. Like that.
Yeah, it was terrible both ways. But yeah, they had that the face mask, a blatant face mask on the opening kickoff by Alabama, and they called a block in the back on Auburn, which it was, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you missed that face mask. You don't make them re-kick. Right. Yeah. And then the makeup calls come, like you said, in mass, including on a great touchdown play by Alabama, and they get a hold. It was pretty ticky-tack. Yeah, even and Gary then, Danielson called it out as questionable.
Right. And then, you have that. And then, of course, we got hit with the blindside block off the touchdown play. But then – our punter got absolutely blasted, and the ref's just looking at it like, oh.
Like,
wasn't anywhere near the play at all. He wasn't even running up the field. He was just standing there.
Yeah, looking down. Should have been a blindside there. Then you had the really weird thing late in the fourth quarter where Alabama jumped, but Auburn had three guys in motion, and they called it offsides.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
as an illegal shift, it is.
Just wild. And then, of course, the great catch by Burton on the sideline. Clearly, there was some green.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wow. Like, what are we looking at? And then on top of that, I mean, all the calls going that way. And then, missed field goal. I was like, my goodness.
Well, Riker missing field goals. It just had everything was set up to be another crazy Auburn victory in the Iron Bowl. And
then we'd hear 365, Auburn did this amazing thing and hundreds of videos. But
like we said, Jalen Milroe would not have it. It took a couple good fortunate breaks, but we got it done. Mm-hmm. We're still in the playoff hunt. And then lucky for us, we weren't the only team to struggle yesterday against a rival that should have been outmatched. So I guess we'll go on to that. The rest of the games, of course, the big one yesterday was Ohio State at Michigan. A pretty good back and forth affair for a while. Michigan pulled away toward the end. And as we kind of said all year long in our previews and just talking about it, Michigan is just designed to beat Ohio State. And a good game called by interim, or I guess substitute coach Sharon Moore on the Wolverine sideline. He was aggressive, went for the kill in a lot of spots, and it paid off. The Wolverines win the Big Ten East. They'll go to the Big Ten title game against Iowa. They played a very Iowa game against Nebraska. Barring a miracle upset, Michigan should be in the playoff, maybe even as a one seed.
It was a crazy game. Ohio State had that opportunity at the end there. A bad quarterback play, McCord definitely. he just hasn't gotten better throughout the season in a lot of spots. He's okay, but with all those offensive talent, that offense never evolved into what it should have this entire season, with arguably the best, what people are saying is the best wide receiver been quite some time, you know, with Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, yeah, I mean that, yeah, that.
Yeah, but yeah, like you said, he had that great game against Notre Dame, that final drive at least, where he looked like maybe that would have been his launching point. But like you said, it just never really took off. And when you come, you know, after the likes of, you know, C.J. Stroud and, you know, some of these guys that Ohio State have had in the past few years, that's where the focus is going to be. It's on you. Right. Yeah.
I mean, he came into a tough situation. I mean, and but the thing is, he really never evolved. So obviously, you would have to think next year they're definitely going to have a different quarterback under center unless he gets way better over the offseason. But even then, you know, as we know, Ohio State's still very much around, you know, depending on how Championship Saturday goes. I mean, as we saw last year, they backed their way into the playoffs. So, I mean, they're right there. I mean, people are going to respect the loss. You know, I doubt that they're going to drop very far. I mean, they were on the road and lost by less than a touchdown. So people are going to look at it as a quality loss, if, you know, for what that's worth. So they're still in the hunt for just depending on what happens.
Yeah, they didn't drop far at all in the AP poll. So we'll see if that's a sign of what's to come with the playoff ranking on Tuesday. But yeah, Michigan, now they get Jim Harbaugh back for the title game. Like we said, they should beat Iowa easily.
Yeah.
And they should make their third straight trip to the playoff.
Exactly. Looking for the first win.
Yeah. They hope they don't have to run into Georgia yet again, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Or TCU. yeah, elsewhere, going out west, Washington survived a really tough Apple Cup. Definitely closer than I thought it would have been. Did not have a late Washington win on my books. I thought they would have, with the way Washington State just fell off the map this year.
Yeah, and especially in Seattle, too.
Yeah, I thought the Huskies would very easily take that. But no, Cougars gave them everything they wanted and more. Michael Penix and company were able to survive, though, in the end. And yeah, they move on to a rematch. Yeah.
Yeah, the big four down play there. And then, you know, they would get the field goal. But that,
huge call.
Gutsy call. Gutsy call.
Another gutsy call, yeah.
And hey, they're sitting undefeated, 12-0 since the last time they split that national title with Georgia Tech. So you don't know if that's that signs of things to come. Who knows? But yeah, the big, big rematch with Oregon. So, you know, if they win that, they're definitely in the playoff. And of course, as we know, if Oregon wins, who knows what happens at that point.
Yeah. It's crazy. Oregon has actually opened as a 9-point favorite, which
is
insane to me. I do think that they've clearly kind of been the better team since that game.
But nine points worth?
Yeah, wow. I don't know. Yeah.
If it were in Eugene, maybe. But it's not. It's a neutral site game in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that one. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won, but 9 points, that seems like a lot.
That seems like a lot, yeah.
But, yeah, so Washington and Oregon, of course, that meant they won Civil War on Friday pretty easily.
Dominating fashion. Yeah, but – I don't know. Now that, you know, of course, the Oregon State coach has been named the Michigan State coach, it's like they kind of looked a little different. Not that Oregon wouldn't have won, but it was like, I don't know, Oregon State just didn't have the fight that you would usually expect from that game, especially with it being the last one. I don't know. It just seemed like something missing, but it makes a little more sense now that we know that their coach is on the Michigan State.
Yeah, kind of resembled – our freshman year at Alabama when we lost the Iron Bowl to an Auburn team that really down to their third string running back. Alabama was a much better team at home in Tuscaloosa and just looked flat. And Auburn really kind of dominated that game. And
exactly.
Lo and behold, we find out not too long after that, oh, Dennis Franchione's on the Texas A&M. So
yeah, definitely had a resemblance for sure.
Yeah. But what can you do there? See elsewhere, Florida State, you know, they were playing down in the swamp, a tough game without their guy, Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
And they had to work hard for it, had to come back.
They did. But Florida definitely helped them out with some dumb penalties, man. But that's just been Florida for a while now. Just some, you know, we know it's a rivalry game and it's a lot of hatred, but you got to be cool at certain points. Like they had the sack on third down and he slid and they just slaughtered him, the quarterback, on that third down run. And
yeah, and I'm so happy for that kid that he's all right, because it looked like he was surprised he wasn't knocked out on site.
Yeah.
No, you mentioned just stupid penalties, and it wasn't like they played bad and those were the icing on the cake. Florida played a really good game. They played really well on both sides of the ball.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, defense was great, and Florida State had to fight hard, but they did, and they moved on to the ACC title game and against the Louisville team who lost their rivalry game at home to Kentucky.
Crazy.
Could not stop Ray Davis and company.
Yeah, that's one I did not see. That's another one I did not see coming at all, considering how Kentucky came into that game. You know, just with what Louisville's done to that point and the fact that, though it was very unlikely, I mean, technically they were in all, it was a long shot, they still had some opportunity to make the playoff, you know, if they won and then won next week.
But yeah, that Kentucky's first win over a top 10 team on the road since 1977, I believe.
Yeah. Was that five? Isn't that five straight for him in the rivalry game or something like that?
It might be. Let's see. But a disappointing loss for the Cardinal. Like you said, they had just a very small shot at making the playoff if they'd won next week and had a bunch of other stuff bounce right for them.
But it was still there. Now it's completely dead. Yeah. And that makes it even crazier for Florida State, because if they were to slip up, they're definitely dead. Because, I mean, people are trying to get rid of them because of the quarterback situation. And if you lose to a team that just lost to a barely above 500 Kentucky team, well.
Disappointing. Good end to a disappointing season for the Wildcats. Yeah. They'll play in a bowl game of some sort, but yeah, this, like you said, this is indeed their fifth straight win over the Cardinals, which puts them at, they are now five ahead in the all-time series. One of those weird series, they've actually only played 35 games.
That is weird.
Yeah, they started in 1912, played a few games, then played one in 1924, and then did not play again for 70 years until 1994.
Wow.
And then, for the most part, I do believe they have played just about every year since then.
That is weird, though, that it's been so limited. Considering how much they play in basketball, you know, just a basketball rivalry. But.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good win for the Wildcats. A disappointing win if you're a Louisville fan, but still a much better year than anyone anticipated.
You're 10-2, and what, they were just horrible last year. They were just bad. So kudos to what Brom is doing there, and you know, I think that, you know, they're going to be pretty decent team over the next five or so years. And But then talk about that game itself. It looks like originally there was those reports yesterday about Mark Stoops being an A&M guy, but now that those kind of fallen off. But
yeah, weird kind of late night rumors that Stoops was going to be the A&M guy, and then kind of a backlash online from A&M fans, which is ridiculous to me because that would be a great hire for them. And of course, now there looks like Mike Elko is going to be the guy, which we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But yeah, just a good win for Kentucky. And then moving on, Georgia surprisingly had to fight harder than I thought they would against Georgia Tech team. Only an 8-point win. Of course, you know, Georgia Tech made it closer, a 10-point fourth quarter.
But it was similar to a lot of Georgia games. The team gets out to a start, and then Georgia fights back. But, you know, even with that start, I was like, yeah, it's nice. But, yeah, this isn't happening. Like, I don't know. I just knew it wasn't going to happen. But, you know, good fight for the, you know, Georgia Tech. They appear to be going in the right direction. You know, they've been a bit – they had an abysmal run there after the switch from the triple option. They really fell off. Can't even think what the last guy's name was, but he ran them into the ground.
Jeff Collins.
Yeah, Jeff Collins. That was just a horrible run, but they appear to be going the right direction, going to a bowl game. So much improved. And a team that a lot of people had to found out the hard way about Georgia Tech. Miami, of course, found out about them. I think when North Carolina lost to them, I mean, they pulled off some big wins in the season. There weren't many expectations. So.
No, yeah. So, yeah, you're a good fight for Georgia Tech. They played a much better game than they should have on paper. Of course, there are no more victories in rivalry week, but you got to feel proud, like you said, of where Brent Key has that program going.
Exactly. And, you know, the worst thing for them, though, is just because of who they are compared to Georgia. I mean, when that game's in Atlanta, I mean, it's still a home game for Georgia. It's like, no help for them. It was like an 80-20 stadium yesterday. It's so much red in there. It's like, geez.
Yeah. Tough going for the rambling wreck. Let's see what else happened. Of course, we talked about Civil War. One fun game from last night didn't have really playoff implications, but one of my favorite rivalry names, Farmageddon, Iowa State and Kansas State.
That was a good one.
It was a good one in the snow. Not quite blizzard-like conditions, but a good hard kind of Midwest snow there in Manhattan, Kansas. And the Cyclones went in there and stole one. A good season for them too. After a disappointing start, they really come on.
Yeah, they did. They definitely did.
Yeah. Arizona beat the ever-loving hell out of Arizona State. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, that Arizona, you know, it's interesting because we had talked about it last week. You know, we were like, well, technically Oregon wasn't in the championship game yet. And they really weren't, because if they had somehow lost to Oregon State, Arizona could have went to the Pac-12 title game, which is crazy going into that game.
Arizona quarterback Fafita, 527 yards passing, five touchdowns.
Amazing.
That rivalry has turned around quickly, because it was not just a couple years ago. The Arizona State, I think, won something like 70-7 or something.
Yeah, well, that's what got Sumlin fired.
Yeah.
When he was Arizona coach.
So, yeah, crazy. In the last game ever on the Pac-12 network, Notre Dame beat Stanford 56-23. There's a good trivia question for you going forward. And a really good one later, sneaky one. Oklahoma State needing a win to get to the Big 12 title game. Got down 24-6 to BYU at halftime, and then stormed back, forced overtime, and
won on overtime.
Got a fumble recovery and double overtime to seal the game.
Yeah, he just snatched the ball. He said, "Give me that."
A grown man play, just like guy, you know, yeah. BYU guy caught the ball for a 6-yard gain or something. And
yeah.
Oklahoma State, as he was fighting for extra yards, that Oklahoma State guy, like you said, just snatched it. Just out-muscled him, took it from him. So they will face Texas next weekend. Tennessee beat the hell out of Vanderbilt, doubled them up. Yeah. NC State gets another win over North Carolina.
Beat them pretty solid.
I believe that's their third straight. I don't think Mac has beaten them yet in his return to Chapel Hill.
He hasn't.
And speaking of a team that, you know, started out disappointing, they've now won, I think, their last five or so games. 9-3 chance to get to 10 wins in the bowl game. Good year for the Wolfpack out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Clemson, a struggle win over South Carolina. South Carolina just couldn't do anything on offense. Neither team really could.
No, they had one offensive touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't know, Clemson did, but yeah, neither team looked good at all. They're just
Clemson didn't even score an offense touchdown. They had the scoop and score, and that was their only touchdown of the game. Yeah.
Yikes.
And
South Carolina is definitely a team that they have high expectations going into the season. There a lot of injuries to start off with against the line, and I don't know, they just never turned into what I thought they were going to be, kind of a sneaky good team out the East, but never really evolved into that.
Yeah, that offense never reached the heights of those last two games from last year. They beat Tennessee and then Clemson. Yeah.
That was just a wild run.
Yeah, and a weird thing, all five of South Carolina's wins this year came at home. They were 5-2 in Columbia, and so 0-5 on the road. And then see other top 25 action. Liberty finished an unbeaten regular season. They beat UTEP. LSU, a good win, a big fourth quarter to beat Texas A&M. Jaden Daniels, just another great game. And also Texas A&M may have found their quarterback going forward. They love their left-handed guys. Yeah, yeah. Almost 300 yards, a couple touchdowns, yeah.
And coming into the game, he didn't even know he was starting until the game started. So, kudos to him.
Tulane finishes an unbeaten conference regular season. They beat UTSA. We mentioned Iowa's win and Nebraska. Oklahoma, big win over TCU. Yeah. Put up
a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. 69-45. Just a crazy day.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel, 400-yard day through the air. Penn State shut out Michigan State 42-0. Missouri, big win over Arkansas.
Yeah, that was ugly.
It gives them a 10-win regular season.
That's impressive, considering the drink was on the hot seat coming into the year.
Yeah. Texas, a big win. They left no doubt over Texas Tech.
Not at all. Texas Tech was dead from the get-go. The game was over within 10 then, couple minutes.
Yeah. And then a kind of a lower-scoring Egg Bowl Thursday night than I would have expected, but Ole Miss got it done. Another 10-win regular season for them. Lane Kiffin doing a great job there. He's got to get over that Alabama hump.
And it'll be interesting to see where Will goes going into the portal. Mississippi State. Be interested to see. I'm sure a lot of teams would be thrilled to get him. So
yeah, that'd be a high commodity. Yeah, exactly. He's going to be the probably premier guy in the transfer portal.
And that all opens up on the 4th. So that'll be crazy.
So we'll be seeing that. But yeah, so that was, I think, pretty much any game from this weekend of importance. That's all of them. Trying to look here for any other results. Maybe I missed that we won't touch on. But
I think we got everything. But I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's been a wild season. Crazy to think we're to the final week before bowl season. We're almost the end, sadly. And we'll just see what craziness. It's been some craziness almost every week. The season is definitely not disappointed in drama. So it'll be interesting to see what what championship Saturday or championship weekend brings us, because
absolutely. And it's another, like we talked about all year, that it's like not quite chaos, but just a lot of scares. Because, you know, right, like we said, we had the only top 10 losses yesterday were Ohio State, you know, but losing Michigan and then Louisville.
Yeah.
But like we said, you know, of course, Alabama had to win it in the last minute. Florida State right. had to win it in the last quarter, you know, right. Georgia had to hold on. You know?
Yeah. Nothing was easy.
No, you know, Washington, you know, a closer game than they wanted. And that's rivalry week. I think on the betting column on Friday, I think I said rivalry week is akin to an acid or a panic attack on acid.
Yeah.
Where at the end, you either go to emotional prison or you have this weird euphoric pride. And exactly. I think that was a pretty good description, if I must toot my horn there. But
all right, definitely.
Of course, what this time of year brings, the coaching carousel. And we did have some movement yesterday. You mentioned it looks like Mike Elko is going to Texas A&M, according to reports. It's a good hire for them. Sucks for Duke to lose them. But, you know, hopefully they can get someone in there to keep that momentum going for their program.
Right. The only thing with that is, you know, what does that do with, like, Riley Leonard? You know, is he going to move? And, you know, are people going to jump on their talented people? You know, are they going to be able to get someone in there once that the players are excited to stay around for? Because that NIL, boy, people are going to be – and the transfer report, people are going to be going into places like that that have coaching change. But, hey, you want to win, right? Come on.
So. Yeah. Look, Dana Holgorsen is out at Houston.
Mm-hmm. You know, that might be you get the right person there. When we've seen the times, you know, we saw it. You know, Kevin Sumlin had a run at Houston. Tom Herman had an excellent run at Houston. You get the right guy in there. Now that they're a Power 5 team, watch out. Houston might be a team that could definitely do some things.
Yeah, that is
12 team playoff.
Yeah, that's exactly that. They're in the Big 12 now. They are in a great football state. They're so, and that's one of the knocks on Holgorsen, is that he did not recruit as well as he should have there, in a hotbed of football talent. Yeah. And then granted, you're always going to lose those big Houston guys to, you know, Texas or A&M, someone like an Alabama coming in from out of state, but. Right. You've got to keep one or two of them a year. You've got to steal like a big time quarterback, and Holgorsen just never was able to do that there. But like you said, that's a program that has all the makings of being able to make some noise once the playoffs expand to 12.
Exactly.
With no more Texas or Oklahoma in the Big 12.
Right. For sure. So they get the right guy. So that'd be interesting where they go with that hire.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting hire to look out for. Indiana fired Tom Allen. like we said, Jonathan Smith is leaving Oregon State for Michigan State. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Still doesn't escape Oregon.
No. Yep. He has to go right back to them. Syracuse let go of Dino Babers after 8 years. And I think, let's see, elsewhere some small ones. UTEP fired their coach, Dana Dimel. New Mexico fired their coach, Danny Gonzalez. Brady Hoke is going to retire, so San Diego State will be looking for a new coach out there. Speaking of a team that had a disappointing season there. Northwestern officially made their interim coach a full-time head coach.
Hey, he did a hell of a job. I mean, the situation he came into and the fact that they ended 7-5, you know, beat the rival, you know, the Illinois to close out the season, but got some, you know, some decent wins. I mean, you know, able to beat Minnesota, able to beat Maryland. Like, they they overachieved like no other. So, you know, it's good that they stuck with the guy that got him there and didn't look, you know, for something outside. Because he deserves it.
Yeah. So, probably expect a lot of movement this year or this week. I mean, on the coaching.
And you know, talking about hot seats, I know he's not going to get fired, but you would have to think, especially if Ohio State doesn't make the playoff this year, because that's what kind of helped him out a lot last year, where Ryan Day is not a very popular guy in Columbus right now. Three straight losses to to Michigan. And I know it's tough because that's your only loss every year, but it's one of those things, especially with how the best thing for everybody in that East is that moving to 12 and the Big 12, Big 10, getting rid of divisions is probably the best thing. But
you talk to some more level-headed Ohio State fans, and I think they're all in agreement. That's ridiculous. He does a great job. He just hasn't been able to beat Michigan the past few years, and I think. One of the best takes I saw was someone pointing out that Urban Meyer and, you know, for all this, his success with there, like he was beating shitty Michigan teams, you know? So now Michigan is up and that's the nature of rivalries, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be a little, up and down, back and forth. But, so now let's look ahead to next week. All of our conference title games are set up. We'll start Friday. We'll just go in scheduled order. Friday, the Conference USA title game, New Mexico State and Liberty face off.
That should be a fun one.
It is. Liberty's the home team there. The smaller schools, you know, playing at home. It should be a fun one. Yeah, New Mexico State, a really good program. Of course, you know, we talked about the Auburn victory.
They got a good win yesterday as well, beating Jacksonville State.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a good win.
It is, and of course we mentioned Liberty finished their season 12-0. I expect Jamie Chadwell, head coach there, his first season there, but of course he had success at Coastal Carolina.
Right. So you know,
I expect him to be a hot
commodity. He's gonna get a lot of calls, whether he leaves or not. Who knows? Yeah.
I saw his name in Mississippi State talks, and I think that'd be a great hire for
them.
But with all these other jobs opening up, you know, and you're interested to see where he goes.
I just saw some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Jeff. Oh, wow.
What you got?
Jeff Lebby just announced on ESPN is going to Mississippi State, the OC from Oklahoma.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I didn't even know that was the – think. I guess that's it. There we go.
Well, there you go. That is now Jeff. Let's see.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Okay.
I wonder if that would make Will Rogers want to stay at all, or is he for sure out now? Because that's a great offensive mind coming in there. I mean, what he's done the numbers he put up this year at OU, and he had that offense rolling. So.
Well, there you go. There it looks like well, here's another one I saw. Terry Bowden is out at UL Monroe.
He's getting pretty old, isn't he?
I mean, who knows? He's up there with just three seasons there. That's a tough place to play.
It is.
Yeah, it is. It is not in the exciting part of Louisiana, I will say that much.
At all.
And Baylor did officially announce that Dave Aranda will return next year. So, end any speculation on that.
I'm sure he was. Probably has to make a lot of different moves. You know, probably has to bring in a whole new staff, and those things usually don't end well. You know, those last year, well, you have to do this, and this in order to keep your job. I'm sure it's something like that, but you know, that hasn't worked out for a lot of people when they're in those situations. So,
Okay, well, back to our championship week preview. Of course, Friday night is also – no, you're good. Breaking news here. Of course, you know, by the time you listen to this, folks, on Monday, it won't be
breaking news.
But, hey, Oregon and Washington, of course, play in the Pac-12 title game, as we mentioned, in Las Vegas. That is Friday night. Greg, if you had to pick a winner, who do you got?
You know, I've been high on Washington all year, but I would have to think, just with where they've been the last – since they played each other, there's just a revenge factor. It's hard to beat a good team twice in a year. I'd have to think that Oregon gets some revenge.
I think I agree with you. I think Oregon's been playing so well since then and on a neutral field that
– And, you know, they even played well that day. It wasn't like they had a bad day.
Yeah, they just missed a late field goal that would have sent it to overtime. So, you know,
a couple of calls, though, you know, a couple of fourth down calls, they convert.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Saturday starts with a couple games, the Big 12 title game at 11, Oklahoma State and Texas. I mean, better season for the Cowboys than anybody I think thought was going to happen. I think Texas should probably take care of them pretty easily.
You would think so. Of course, from our side, we'd love to see that happen. But realistically, that's probably not going to happen.
In Detroit, the MAC championship game, Miami, Ohio, and Toledo square off. 2 o'clock, the Mountain West title game, Boise State and UNLV. Great year for the Running Rebels, man. Barry Odom in his first year didn't come through with the cover. Lost to San Jose State yesterday. Got that one wrong in the picks column. But the tiebreakers, they used some computer formula similar to the BCS, and it picked Boise State and UNLV. San Jose State's win was not enough yesterday. Interesting, you know, Boise State moving on from their coach despite making the title game. But so we'll see what happens there. Of course, 3 o'clock, the big one, Georgia and Alabama SEC title game. Let's talk about that for a second. I was saying the one thing, you know, it's always hard to judge rivalry games because, you know, the underdog is hyped up. And yeah, it's a rivalry game. Weird things happen. We've talked about Jordan Hare Voodoo forever. If there was one thing to worry me about yesterday is once Auburn got running that power run game and
we couldn't stop it.
Yeah. And that's worrisome going up against a Georgia team who loves to do that kind of stuff. At the same time though, and Georgia Tech exposed it for Georgia and a lot of teams have this year, you can run on the dogs if you can get outside the tackles. That edge, their edge game is not as strong as it has been. So it's interesting to see how these, you know, Tommy Rees and then Mike Bobo are going to attack the other defenses.
Because they have all the both ways. I mean, they definitely – I know that they'll see all the holes both ways. It's a matter of can you take advantage of that. And to be honest, you know, Alabama, you know, for the most part, it was kind of shocking how bad we did against the run yesterday. Because, you know, we've had a struggle with running quarterbacks. We saw that, of course, Jaden Daniels had a field day. But, I mean, but actual running backs haven't really gone off on us. So I was kind of shocked just how well they ran the ball. And it wasn't anything tricky or anything. They just ran the ball.
That's the one thing that I did not see yesterday that I expect to see more of was, you know, Hugh Freeze pulling everything out of his bag of tricks, and they really didn't. I mean,
no, they just
they had the one touchdown that was on that kind of end around play, but
for the most part, they just played hard-nosed physical football, and
that first touchdown drive of theirs was the same inside zone run, just five times in a row, and you know, what's his face, Hunter was able to just, you know, either find the hole or bounce it outside and do that. So, another interesting thing, obviously, I think Alabama will be by far the best team that Georgia has played all year and vice versa. Alabama may have had a tougher, you know, a little bit tougher test having to play LSU and Texas. It'll be an interesting game. It's a hard. I don't think it'll be a blowout either way.
No, never is. It usually ends well, of course, except for the SEC championship game. But you know, last time I think
that one was.
No, but I was saying, you know, Georgia kind of knew they were in the playoff no matter what. So I don't think that they thought as. But this year is going to be a little different because just with how even the playing field is in the top 10, like, that they're going to come in with a different moment, you know, different hype, I think, than what we saw 2 years ago because they know, you know, losing on Saturday may get you eliminated from the playoffs completely, even as a number one team, just with where everybody else is and depending on how everything else goes. I mean, we could be very much looking at a lot of one-loss teams come the end of Saturday. So
yeah.
But on our, you know, on our side, I just say, hey, we're not expected to win. We're the underdog. You know, we're playing with house money a little bit. Of course, it's Alabama, so the expectations are still there. But I think it's much different than any other SEC championship game, probably since that 08 Florida game. You know, it's just when I'm expected to win, of course, outside of our program, no, everybody's thinking Georgia is going to run through us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of similarities to 2 years ago, but also a lot different. I think, you know, I think they'll be ready. I think they just need to come out, play with no, you know, no thought, just go play football. I mean,
if they can play like they did against LSU in Kentucky, that complete games, just and let Jalen Milroe, he needs to, you know, make some big plays with his feet and his arm.
Yeah.
Defense needs to create turnovers, you know, or at least get stops, you know, let that offense get going. Should be a good one, though. Georgia has opened as a 4.5-point favorite, it looks like. So that's one thing to note. And then real quick, the rest of that day, Tulane host SMU for the
should be a fun AAC one, too.
Yeah, that'll be – SMU is playing really well, really quietly.
Still not ranked team, and I know some of it has to do with that now a horrible-looking loss to TCU to start the year, but they're 10-2. Like, they've had a heck of a season. I mean, their only other loss was OU. So. But I think it's going to be a fun game.
They smacked around Navy, put up 52 points in the first half the other day.
High-powered offense.
Yeah, that's a big one because Tulane playing, maybe even SMU playing for that New Year's Six bid.
Right.
Of course, you know, Liberty's in that conversation as well, you would think. Also at 3 o'clock, the Sun Belt title game, App State at Troy. At what used to be called Movie Gallery Stadium there in Troy. That should be good. It could be a fun one there.
Should be a fun one.
Just, you know, no one will be watching because of the big one on CBS there.
Yeah.
And then the nighttime games, you got your Big Ten Championship, Michigan and Iowa, and then your ACC title game, Louisville and Florida State, of course. Like we said, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying, I think that Florida State-Louisville game is going to be a pretty good one. Florida State may very well win the game, but I think... You know, I don't know if Louisville maybe is looking a little bit ahead, but, you know, I think they're going to definitely come in ready. And Florida State, they've won a lot of games. You can't take away from them. But even with Jordan Travis, at no point have I thought, man, this team is just epic. You know, they've had quite a few games where they could have lost. You know, the Miami game was a lot closer when folks thought, yesterday against Florida. I think Florida State wins, but it would not shock me if Louisville were to pull that upset just because, you know, they're a good team.
Yeah, well-coached team, and, you know, they'll be angry after yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that should do it for college football for this week. Unless there's anything we missed that you want to touch on.
No, I'm just, you know, Championship Saturday is a continuation of what rivalry weekend was. It might be a heck of a, I think we'll be in for an entertaining Saturday and hopefully a lot of tough decisions for the committee on Sunday.
Of course, you know, we talk, if you're an Alabama fan, obviously, you know, you want the win over Georgia. That's the only way you get in. But, you know, you would like Texas to lose. And then, it's real interesting between Washington and Oregon. Because, you know, the scenario everyone talks about is like, Michigan beats Iowa, Washington wins. And then, you know, there's a couple. So Michigan wins, Washington wins, Florida State wins. So those are your three power conference unbeaten teams. They're in, no doubt. And then you're left with Texas as a one-loss Big 12 champ and Alabama as a one-loss SEC champ. And the question there is, does the committee value Texas's win over Alabama more, or Alabama's much better resume? And that's a question. And then the other scenario is if Oregon wins that. So you would have Michigan and Florida State as your locks because they're unbeaten conference title winners. And then you would have one loss Texas, one loss Oregon, and one loss Alabama. Three teams for two spots. And
then one loss Georgia, too. I mean, technically.
Loss Georgia, one loss Ohio State is in there. So
that's complete chaos. And at that point, who knows what the committee – values or what they're looking at, and because I mean there's a lot of different situations. I would say the craziest thing for Alabama, and it's just how deep the field is this year, Alabama is basically the first team I've seen since the playoff has started that a September loss in week two could very well be the only reason we keep not make the playoff if we win on Saturday. That could keep us out. And that's wild.
That's a good point. The very first year of the playoff, I think Ohio State lost at home to a not very good Virginia Tech team that I think finished like 6-6 that year or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't keep them at the playoff. You know, they went on to win the national title.
And it's not like we played a bad team. It's a good Texas team. I mean,
Clemson had a home loss to Pitt 1 year and still made it.
Exactly.
So I think the only thing you can say for certain is the committee probably wishes that it were 12 teams this year.
Oh yeah.
Because that'd be a hell of a playoff this year.
Oh yeah, for sure. What the playoff committee would definitely hope for is that it just goes chalk and Georgia wins, Washington wins, Florida State wins, and of course Michigan wins. And it's no question, you get your four, and you have some epic New Year's Six bowl games still. But
That would be I think the first time we ever had four unbeaten conference champions in the playoff too. But like you said, it should be a great weekend. Alabama fans probably still will have to. About Wednesday before we realize what is actually happening. And yes, we actually did win the Iron Bowl, and it's time for Georgia. Let's see, moving on real quick. We'll go over some other stuff here. So as we don't run too long, we're at the 54-minute mark. I see now, NFL today, this weekend, nothing too crazy. Kind of a bland day on Thursday. Those Thanksgiving games, surprising win for the Packers over the Lions in Detroit.
Yeah, that was a wild one.
Yeah, Jordan Love probably played his best game so far. They jumped on him early, too, 20 points in the first quarter, and Lions couldn't quite come back. Then your Cowboys just beat the hell out of Washington. 49ers, really easy win at Seattle to kind of start pulling away in the NFC West there.
Yeah.
And then game that I'm not sure anyone watched, the Dolphins beat the Jets on Black Friday.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody really watched that because everybody kind of knew what was going to happen.
Well, and I completely forgot it was happening. I got an alert on my phone about some fantasy stuff going on. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a game today.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that move because I always look at Friday as a college day, the day after Thanksgiving. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's weird being only streaming on Amazon, you know.
Yeah.
The one notable thing of that was that I think the first time I've ever seen a Hail Mary returned for a touchdown.
That's a very New York Giant, New York Jet, like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, only team that could happen to. Today, some kind of actually important results for division races. Jaguars went to Houston and beat the Texans.
That's a big win.
It's a big win for them, for the NFC South or the AFC South. The NFC South had a big one too. The Falcons beat the Saints. Falcons
pretty handily.
It was only a 9-point victory on the scoreboard, but they is definitely a kind of a dominating effort for Atlanta there. The Steelers beat the Bengals to keep their playoffs hope alive. The Bengals, I assume, you know, they'll keep slipping without Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Titans got a win over the Panthers behind a good game from Derrick Henry. Colts got their 6-5, kind of sneaky. Very sneakily. Yeah, you look at that record, you're like, wait, the Colts are in the playoff discussion.
Right, exactly.
The Giants beat the Patriots. Mac Jones benched again just to.
What was the score on that? Like 10-7?
10-7, yeah. Patriots had a chance to tie it up at the end and missed it.
Very Iowa like.
Yes. Patriots, yeah, just oof. Rough year. Kind of a big marquee game going on right now. Bills have a 10-7 lead over Philly and Philly.
Philly's struggling.
And the Bills are driving too. They have the ball inside the Philly red zone with under a minute to go, trying to add to that first half lead. Chiefs and Raiders are kind of surprisingly tied up at 14 right now. They just got underway in the second half. Jacobs almost 100 yards already. Yeah.
And quietly, and the Raiders the last couple of weeks have looked somewhat like an okay team.
They're kind of another team. They have a 5-6 record, you know. Could sneak there. Let's see. The Rams are up 24-8 on the Cardinals as we record. And then it's kind of surprising result. The Broncos are up 14-6 on the Browns right now. But it looks like the Browns are have a 4th and goal at the 2 for maybe to tie that one up. And then, of course, kind of a big one, night Ravens at the Chargers. I picked the Ravens in the pick column, which I hate doing. It never works out. But it's only Chargers kind of like. They're a bad team. And after Brandon Staley's rant last week,
where are they at? Yeah.
Yeah, his time might be coming to an end there in Los Angeles. And that's, you know, that's a team, like I think I mentioned, but that's just, they don't have any home field advantage there in LA. No one cares about them. Biggest mistake ever leaving San Diego.
They really were.
Indeed, the Browns did just score. So they will now have chance to go for 2 and tie that one midway through the third quarter. Elsewhere, I've seen nothing big so far yet in MLB free agency. Aaron Nola did re-sign with the Phillies. Other than that, you know, like we said last week, we're still just waiting for Shohei Ohtani.
After that, things will start moving, I think.
That's when the dominoes will fall. You know, that one. And then, of course, if indeed Juan Soto is traded. So we will see there. NBA in-season tournament. The group stage wrapped up this week, right?
Yeah. The semis are coming up, I think, this coming up weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's see. The group. Let's see. So your Pacers won a group, or the Pacers, not your Pacers. And then, is there a couple more? Eastern games maybe to be played. I'm not sure. But yeah, it looks like, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, so we'll see there what happens. Trying to look up some of these scenarios here because. Like I said, Tuesday, I think, is the final day for group stage games, actually. Okay. So. But yeah, it's just, like you said, a fun little wrinkle in the season.
It'd be interesting to see how that takes on. You know, does it stay as a thing, or do they add anything to it as far as incentive other than the money? Because, you know, obviously money's not going to be overly intriguing to the players who make bukus of money. So, you know, I think long term they're going to have to add something else to it to make it a little more give a little more point, because I mean, with it being something new, of course it works well in soccer because it's been there forever. But with it being something new in American sports, you know, what does it bring? You know, how popular? I mean, do the players like it? I guess it's still technically the season, so it's a game they would have anyway. It's just a little different how they do it. So
yeah, still counts for the regular season standings as well. So. Interesting. Let's see, Alabama basketball this week lost their first game to Ohio State, but then rebounded with a win over.
And sadly, you're not able to watch that because it was going on as Iron Bowl was going on. So
Yeah, right.
Admittedly, did not see any of that one. I will say, watch some of the Ohio State game Friday, and you know it's kind of the same old story. You know, it's still November. We still have a lot to – we're still molding the team because, I mean, you got to think these guys have not really been around each other a lot. But, you know, it's the same old, no real rim protector, getting out rebounded, and, you know, defense just has to keep getting better. Because, I don't know. There was really no point in the game where I thought we were going to win against Ohio State. They kind of start to finish. We got close a couple of times, and they hit a big three. And we go in, they hit a three. But, hey, it's interesting just to see the first real Power 5 opponent. But, you know, nice rebound yesterday. Big game for the SEC-ACC challenge against Clemson on Tuesday. Hopefully we can pull that. And then, of course, it gets really real in December.
Yeah, really real. But, yeah, I think that should do it for my list. Anything else you want to touch on before we go?
I think I am good.
Well, all right, then. What was done up real good for you this week?
You know, just the whole, you know, going off last week, just after experiencing the whole Thanksgiving week, you know, I really enjoyed it. Time off from work, time at home. Of course, the Iron Bowl topped it off. So, I mean, couldn't get better than what it was. You know, you go into a holiday week, you would have expectations, and it lived up to it. So, that's kind of my good thing of the week. How about you?
I'm just going to say it. Jalen Milroe to Isaiah Bond.
baby.
Yeah. Turned what would have been a very disappointing loss into an amazing win. And it coming on the 10-year anniversary of the kick six, I think, was very poetic.
Sweeter than that. And it, you know, just the whole situation. And then, you know, on top of that, reminiscent again of the even though it's a different game, different situation, the national title game with Tua's throw, because, I mean, he gets sacked to play before. We're like, what the heck?
And then walks wild ending.
Yeah, wild ending there. Can't get better. Happy for Jalen, because, I mean, that would have been
happy for Jalen. Yeah, exactly. And now it's, you know, I guess get over it, and yeah, like you said, focus on them Bulldogs. They're going to be a lot tougher. But as always, thank you.
They'll be ready to go. Saying they'll be ready to go. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's nothing to look forward ahead to now. So, yeah, should be a great championship week. And we're starting to hit our stretch run in NFL football. Like you said, a big December for Alabama basketball. Conference plays right around the corner. And, you know, we'll be in playoff and bowl season before we know it. But yes, as always, folks, thank you for listening and taking on sports. Listen to all of the great podcasts on the Alabama Take family of podcast. I'm sure the Alabama Slam might have something big to talk about this week.
I would think so. That was I enjoyed it. I enjoyed
some. I didn't get to watch any of Survivor Series, but I did see the big surprise at the end.
That's a big one.
CM Punk. Back in WWE. Hell, Triple H, like he said in his tweet, mighty cold day in hell.
Yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, I mean, I watched it on replay last night and today. I enjoyed it. The war game part was excellent, both the men and the women's. Like, man, I liked it. It was a good event.
It should get some buzz going for WWE for sure. In a time of the year when it's pretty quiet for them. So that's certainly something huge going forward for them. But as I said, always check out the alabamatake.com for all of our podcast and writings. That's about it, folks. Keep it done up real good out there yourselves. Greg, take it easy, bud.
Me too, buddy.